KALW.
With a voyage story, a sunny little cow. Place where it never rained, they say, don't know how.
What's my name? Marvin Mays. I've been here for, on the corner for 49 years.
Dad, we moved out here when I was 5 years old. I'm 56 now, so 51 years.
My name's Mike Mays. I live on Road 46 in Oakeyville. Mainly out here, everybody farm labor. I work in construction. It's all farmland and dairies.
My name is LaDawn Mays. I'm Mike's wife. People fled the Dust Bowl to come here. He did too. He came out here from Oklahoma with his parents.
Yeah, I come from Oklahoma. Parish, Oklahoma.
When we first moved out here, there was everybody out here was Okies, you know what I mean?
Everybody was Okies when they was out here, and they called it Okieville. But it's more Mexicans than there are Okies now.
Now let's do me Okies, I'll hand it to you straight. I came out here 8 weeks ago, and I haven't worked a day. But now I'm on relief, boys, I guess I've done my best. It wasn't for old Uncle Sam, I guess we started dead.
My name is Oswaldo Gembo. When I moved here when I was 8, there was only like Okie people. I don't know about it, but it was like everybody was white people here. We were the first Mexican moving in this trailer. There's a little mini town. So, I mean, everybody knows who I am and everybody knows who he is. You know, we try to know each other, protect each other. And then, yeah, you can have animals and plants, all the stuff that you want, you know? It's pretty nice.
My name's Mary Jane, and I live here in Okieville.
My name is James, and I live in Okieville. She is my neighbor.
I love it. I love the country. Every sound you can hear, it's nice. You know, just watching the sunrise, watching the sunset, kicking back. You know, that's what I do, so I'm lucky, you know, that I'm out here. I wouldn't want to be nowhere else but here.
Not even Hawaii?
Oh, only for a week, maybe. Vacation.
I am a rambling cotton picker, happy as I can be. Any old cotton patch is home sweet home to me.
My name is Tree. I live out here, what they call Okieville. 46 years old. Lived here pretty much all my life.
Is my sister Lily.
It was always green. There was always, everybody was always out here doing gardens. It was always pretty.
But not like mine. Nobody had a garden like mine. Except for Grandpa. Grandpa outdid mine.
Your daddy outdone you.
And Dad used to grow the garden together. I used to do the garden with Dad over there.
So did I. Hello.
Go put it in that. Go in the house.
This is where Grandpa wanted to go because of all the farming. Yeah.
Because they used to go out and pick cotton. Grandma would be pregnant and have the one other kid
riding on the sack.
Riding on the sack and picking cotton.
I came out here from Texas to the state of the Golden West. My pop gets on the WPA because he thought that was the best.
My name is Eric Coyne. I'm a deputy county administrator for Tulare County. Well, Okieville is so small it's not even considered a community. It's more of a what we would call a hamlet. Okieville, in general, there used to be a lot of row crops. Tulare County used to grow an enormous amount of cotton.
This all used to be flooded. So it was real rich as far as the soil.
This used to be all pretty much just your cotton, your corn.
And alfalfa. And now you ain't even got that.
This would be an official map from the county.
Oh, there you go. Okay, so there's Tulare. And so Okieville is west of town, so more southeast west.
My name is Chris Harrell, and I'm the executive director and curator of the Tulare Historical Museum in the city of Tulare in California. Okieville is roughly 5 miles west of the city itself. It's within the confines of Tulare County. The land was rich, the soil was rich. This whole area was a Garden of Eden, so to speak.
Dad coming in here?
What's that?
Dad.
What?
Right here. It was pretty good back then. It was a lot of water. Everything was, you know, going pretty good up until when, Dad? Hey, when did well go dry?
Oh, yeah.
About 5 years ago, 6 years?
4 or 5 years ago, huh?
Yeah. We didn't know what was going on because, you know, everybody out here, everybody's well was going dry at that time.
My name is Carol Guajardo. I live in Tulare, California.
And my name is Pete Guajardo, and I live in Tulare, California.
Oakville is just a small community of maybe 100 families of dried up agriculture. Now there's just, everything has changed with the drought.
Okay, when the well went dry, we were just getting air at first through the faucets. And then once it started getting air, then we weren't getting no water no more. Man, we didn't know what to do until we asked the neighbor. And, you know, he bailed us out. If it wasn't for him, we would have had to leave here. Nothing feels like dying like the drying of my skin and lung. Why do we just sit
here while they watch us wither till we're gone? Their wells have been drying up. Even like 3 years ago, my grandma's well dried up.
It's awful. It kind of ruined my scenery of the country.
Everybody's lawn is dead, just about. It's like everything's dying around here. It used to be all nice and green, a lot of trees. Now they're cutting all the trees down, all dying, the grass is all dying.
I like to be able to get out and play in the dirt, but not all this much dirt now. It's too much dirt. Well, even I know our kids even would go out to the ditch in the reservoir to go swimming, and there's no water, so yeah. Kids can't swim no more. Last year, we didn't even get water out here. Nothing to even put in the reservoir. Because usually, whenever they ran the water, you can go over there and you go fishing, because fishing back in the day when we was kids was the bomb over there at the reservoir.
I love the reservoir. I love to go walking around.
All day, my grandpa would have to go out there and be like, hey, it's dinner time. And I'd be out there catching crappie, bass. It never used to dry up. It used to always stay full, so there would be big fish out there.
If all the water was to just stop around here, all these boys would have to find a new place because there wouldn't be nothing for us out here. So it's like if we could just get water out here, it'd be awesome.
I mean, it used to be pretty out here, but you look out here now and it's like, ugh.
A lot of these places had relatively shallow wells and may have had water in past times, have no water or very little water.
You're listening to Will the Water Come, an original documentary by Sarah Craig. This is Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. Wells started to go dry in Oakville about 5 years ago, and residents have been surviving off of water deliveries from the state's emergency tank and bottled water program. Those who have the resources can drill new wells, but the majority of Oakville residents aren't large-scale farmers. They're farm laborers. They help make Tulare County the largest agricultural producing county in the United States, but they're too poor to drill. And drilling a well in this part of California costs tens of thousands of dollars. Let's hear more now from the documentary, Will the Water Come?
I've been here since 69. My wife was here, she came here in the 60s.
Wow.
My name is Judy Smith. You get those farmers turning those big old pumps on, that's gonna do heck on our wells.
Oh yeah. Yeah, and that when they turn these big 100 horse pumps on, you can bet you that'll suck the water quick. But if we get some good rains and stuff this winter.
Yeah, but Jim, it's going to depend on how much snow we get up there in those mountains.
Yeah. The drought is just people don't have the money to drill the wells, and that's the biggest problem.
My name is Aaron Fukuda. I'm the district engineer here at Tulare Irrigation District.
In the past, we noticed that the groundwater levels dropping, and then the state and the federal government stepped in and said, we got to fix this problem. And the State Water Project and the Central Valley Project started forming, and that brought an imported surface water supply. Overall, we've been losing surface water. And when there's not enough surface water, farmers must rely on their pumps. And so it's a hard situation where groundwater levels are dropping for everybody. And unfortunately for communities, that means their wells are going to drop too. And so it's a push and shove situation where farming has to be survive in order for these communities to survive.
Now people are spending what little money they have on water. Because without water, everything stops. You can't cook, you can't grow food. It makes life much more tenuous and immediate. It's a game changer.
I'd say 90% of the people in Okieville is being affected with this drought. Because drilling a well costs you around $30,000. Most people don't have it. It's a poor country in here. Most people in here, they're either cow milkers or farm workers. I would say 90% of them are. And then there's a lot of retired people in here, too. We're retired. I don't work. She don't work.
A lot of people out here still ain't got no water.
Buenas tardes. ¿Qué orden?
Se me hace una torta de asada.
¿Es para qué? ¿Para llevar?
Para llevar.
My name is Maria Marquez. Yo también trabajo en...
I work at Mariscos Reyes, taco truck.
Y cuando van las personas que a comer allí...
We use that place to also let people know about the meetings and, you know, about the water. We're trying to get everybody that wants to get connected with us.
Oh, que mañana va a haber una junta para que van a hacer el pozo.
¿Dónde va a ser?
En mi casa.
Mi nombre es José Vázquez.
My name is Jose Vázquez.
Manejo tractores.
Drive tractors. I irrigate fields. Just all around things that a farmer usually does is everything that I do.
Soy de la directiva de la comunidad de Okieville Highlands.
And I'm the director of the community of Okieville.
Y luego conocimos a una mujer que se llama María.
We had a local friend, Maria, who would always give us good advice. So we always kind of turned to her just to see how she could help.
Yo fui la primera que empecé a hacer eso.
So I was the first one that called to try to get help for water. I was the first one to get a tank and to start having meetings at my house.
Comenzamos con las juntas porque vinieron María y David.
So it all started with Maria and David. They came to do a sample of the water, and they realized that we're running out of water, so they gave us a number to call to get bottled water.
My name is Maria Herrera, and I'm a community development specialist at Self-Help Enterprises. I was out there doing water sampling, and I think we were chased by a goose and a goat.
Cuando ella vino, estaba el papi y andaba el
bueno, María. My mom said when she came, the last time, it was the goose try to get Maria.
Ven, papi, ven. Papi, ven. Ven, corazón, ven.
Every
papi.
Time that she talks to him, he makes that noise.
Just at the very first visit, we learned that there was a lot of drought impacts and that, you know, we're not being reported and that people didn't know what to do, and so we started having public meetings, and a lot of people that said, great, good timing, you know, we don't have no water now, can you get us water?
First two meetings I never went to, because I was figured they were never going to, nothing was going to happen. So then my neighbor was going and kept talking to me about it, so he goes, you got to go, because, you know, you make a difference, you're a homeowner, you got to make a difference. So then we started getting more involved. So we started going out there and passing out flyers and, you know, we need somebody to come and help us.
They have three different agencies really coming together, bringing forward their funding sources to make something happen in Okieville in a very quick way. And I think kind of the takeaway message is that yes, that the drought, you know, impacted them negatively, but it also created an opportunity for there to be investment in this community. They recently, you know, with our assistance, secured $2.6 million to construct a brand new water system that includes a well, a filling station, and a distribution system.
They're going to get a well drilled far enough to where we can get enough water to supply Okieville. It's plain and simple. It's common sense.
They have told us is that maybe in October or November, they're planning to start making a well, the well that is needed for all the water. This week, we're going to have a meeting and we're going to talk about, they're going to maybe give us a date on when all that construction stuff can start.
You're listening to Will the Water Come, an original documentary by Sarah Craig. This is Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. Okieville is one of the few communities to receive state and federal funding to drill its own communal well, a total of $2.6 million. Now, let's return to the documentary, Will the Water Come?
And I want to thank everybody for coming, and we have some good news.
I say I want to just celebrate. What a great success this has been. I mean, just to think that, you know, a little over a year ago, we came together to talk about water. We went from talking about the impacts to getting to work and to getting $2.6 million. I mean, that is something to celebrate. And I think this project is gonna be one of those projects that's gonna be a case study that, you know, others are gonna be able to point to and say, this is how communities responded to the drought. Once this project is said and done, this will be one of the largest investment, or the only investment you guys have seen, you know, here and probably all the time you guys have been living here.
There's a lot of people want the government to come in and drill wells. The government's not going to pay for
all. But these people don't realize how much money that's got to be put into doing all of this.
And there's going to be a lot of upkeep on those wells, too. Because they got to put in tanks, and then they got to be approved.
And you got to have permits.
Yeah.
And plus, you got to have put in the electricity, run the wells, and then you got to stroll the lines to run the water.
And, meters and everything.
And all of that stuff, and plus meters.
Yeah.
They got to put in meters because they're going to
charge you by the gallon.
Yeah. So that's more money.
These solutions, they are expensive. But how do you displace 100 families and say, you've been living here for decades and now it's time to move? I mean, how do you monetize that?
There's a better world to come and tell you why. There's a better world to come and tell you why. We will feed them on the land, on the sea, and in the sky. There's a better world that's coming, I'll tell you why. There's
a better world. I think the drought has actually brought the neighbors closer, because our next door neighbor, we had never, you know, spoke to him or anything. And when we did run out of water, they offered, you know, it was kind of a, you know, English, Spanish, you know, this, that, and, you know, we couldn't have really understand each other, but we did understand they wanted to go ahead and help us, you know, fill our barrels up.
When wells were going dry for the first time, it created the need to talk to your neighbor.
Yeah, because before the well went dry, I think everybody was more standoffish. Nobody really socialized. And now everybody...
Well, I think because the language barrier has a lot to do with that, but
we're more able to try to tear it down, I guess. I don't how you would say it, I don't know.
They are showing the rest of us, with that pull themselves up by the bootstrap attitude, how we should act to everybody.
There's a better world that's coming, don't you see. There's a better world that's coming, don't you see.
We was told that in August they were supposed to start with the wells, but they haven't started yet. I'm thinking it will happen, but when, I don't know.
If all goes as planned, I think we could probably start connecting people to the new system in probably August of 2017. So I know that, you know, for people that don't have water now, that seems like, you know, a long time from now. But I think when you look at how what it actually takes to construct these types of projects, we're actually moving in a very expeditious manner.
So we're just waiting.
It's so discouraging out here. But in the back of my mind, I know there's help coming. I just have to be patient. And a lot of people out here are retired or on disability, and they can't afford to go. They basically do what they have to do to survive out here until the water comes.
Well, if they don't get water out here, I don't look for a lot of people to stick around.
It's just going to be the tough ones that stay.
We'll give it one more year. If not, then we would have to sell and leave.
It's a crying shame to have to worry about water, you know what I mean, rather than paying all the rest of the bills and actually living a good life, you know.
There was the Dust Bowl over there. They was like in that a drought, I guess, over there at that time. So they came over this way. So I guess that's what we're supposed to be doing, is going back that way.
A lot of people are still sticking around here. They don't want to leave this place because we're all so used to it.
I have a lot of faith that the water is going to be restored here to Oakeyville, and this is going to be a lot happier and a lot more stress-relieved neighbors living here.
They have told us that there are a lot of funds so far to do a lot of things around here. So we are hoping that, you know, once this whole drought thing is over, that we can keep going and we can keep fixing Oakeyville and, you know, make it a better place and just fix it all up.
Maybe a street light or two.
Yeah,
a sidewalk. Oh, my goodness, a sidewalk.
You ain't going to get that yeah, in the country. And I don't care for it.
Mm-hmm, because we could use the roller skates.
Oakeyville has a solution for its current crisis, but drilling deeper wells cannot be the end-all fix because there just isn't enough water. Up until a few years ago, most of California had no laws governing its groundwater. That meant that anyone could drill a well as deep as they liked and pump as much water as they wanted. In 2014, the state passed the Sustainable Management Groundwater Act that will force localities to manage groundwater more sustainably. But their timeline for achieving sustainability is a long time from now, the year 2040 for some areas. So even Oakeyville's newer, deeper well could run dry. What's even more troubling is the state's climate change forecast. Study after study suggests that climate change will lead to increased drought conditions, rising temperatures, and less moisture will be the new norm. If these predictions come true, California might lose its status as the nation's agricultural powerhouse, and places like Oakeyville will have even less water to go around. Will the Water Come is an original documentary by Sarah Craig. It was edited by Ben Trefney and mixed by Ted Muldoon. This project was made possible with support from California Humanities, a nonprofit partner of the National Endowment for the Humanities. Thanks also to Bobby Model Charitable Fund and to Toon Yards. Thanks for listening. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba.